Hello, everyone. This is Steve, the pirate peg leg of the Fishing Friends crew. And today we're going to be talking to a new and upcoming captain in Charlotte Harbor. His name's Andrew Merriman. And we've also got the man himself, Frank, sitting in with us. How you guys doing today?
Still a little cold.
A little cold?
It's rainy. It's not fun. It's not sunny in 75 like supposed to be.
This morning they said how cold it was going to be, right? And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I got up and I went outside to have a smoke and a little decaf coffee. One of the weird things, you know, you get old, you can't sleep. It was 74 degrees this morning at a quarter after 3.
I t-shirt, that was fine.
Yeah, I ran out the door this morning with my Under Armour hoodie on. And I said, well, wait, this ain't going to work. So I just took it off and left it at home.
Yeah, you know, and I was sitting there going, are you kidding me? This was supposed to be cold this morning. It was literally 74 degrees. And I went back in and slept for another hour or so and then got back up. And it was 72 degrees. And I think right now it's probably 68 or something. It's falling as we go. I think tonight's supposed to be, what, 30s?
38.
38.
Tonight.
Yeah. By
midnight.
Yeah, well, you know, winter's going to fall Saturday now?
Yeah, I think Saturday is going to be winter.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
We'll be back suntan lotion and bikinis next week.
I don't want to see you in a bikini.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
kind of like a transformer.
Enough with the imaging. It's a Saturday. I don't need this. Okay. But one of the things that's going to happen now, I think wintertime, the winds blow a lot out of the east. So with the fishing, what's going on with the fishing?
Well, I'm going to let we got Andrew here today. And we have a lot of – Andrew, as you know, we have a lot of customers that come in the shop, and we're pretty famous down here in Charlotte Harbor for our redfish in the wintertime. So we've got Captain Andrew in here today, and we're going to kind of let him go over some tactics and some stuff for the wintertime fishing here in Charlotte Harbor with our low tides and clear water that we get. So I'm going to – we're going to kind of pick Andrew's brain.
Yeah, that's something that's more or less just a wintertime thing here?
Captain Andrew, I mean, could you elaborate on that for us?
In regards to the redfish or the
tide?
Tides
and
the tide.
Clear, yeah.
So what you got is you got a couple things working against
which
you.
Which way did it go, George? Which way did it go?
Yep.
Hey, George. It was a pretty rabbit, George.
So like Frank was saying, we do have a lot of winds coming out of the east, so that pushes the water out. So it makes it go out a little bit quicker on an outgoing tide and makes it a little harder to come back in on an incoming tide. So as well as the winds working against you, you have, is it not the lunar phase, Frank?
I don't know. I wasn't watching Star Trek this weekend.
Oh, I mix up Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. It was a Star Wars thing. Never mind.
But the placement of the moon this time of year does contribute to it because you get lower tides. If you ever drive over 75, you'll notice summertime you can drive over morning, afternoon, night, doesn't matter, and you don't really see much land. You see water and you see the mangrove islands. Once you're getting into winter is when you start driving over 75 and seeing a sandbar going about halfway between 75 and 41.
So, Captain Andrew, what you're saying to me is if in the wintertime, would it be a good time for me to ride around out there and look for things that I don't normally see in the summertime?
That would be a great idea. That's one of the things you can, you know, take advantage of this time of year other than, you know, finding out where you've crashed before or where you've hit the sandbar going real fast. You can start looking for areas and kind of mapping them in your brain, giving yourself a mental note of where certain areas are that look fishy, where there's structure that's submerged that you wouldn't normally see on a high tide.
Look out at high tide, all you see is water.
This is true.
You don't see any of the bottom features, but you go out there when the tide's a -6 with an east or northeast wind blowing that water out, you literally see where the holes are because it's the only place where there's any water. The rest of it's just sand and dirt. I mean, if it pushes out 2-3 feet of water, most of the sand flats are literally sand flats.
Yeah.
And so you can see where all the deep cuts are.
Yeah.
We call it doing a Lewis and Clark. You know, going out and exploring.
Except we don't need a musket, and we don't need to watch out for bears when we're doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe hogs?
Yeah, those saltwater hogs. They're mean. They're not very nice. But, yeah, like Frank was saying, you go out and you look for these areas that you wouldn't normally see in normal summertime conditions. You know, you can go to an area where you fish on a very regular basis, and wintertime, you can find out just how far those mangroves go back and how far the water on a high tide in summertime can put those fish 200-400 yards sometimes back into the mangroves. So you think you got a good shot, and lo and behold, they're 300 yards away laughing at you.
Okay. So, Captain Andrew, take me, say I wanted to get up on a Saturday morning and I wanted to go out and catch some redfish. Take me through a normal routine or some techniques and things that I could look for, things that I could do, and maybe to catch a few of these redfish.
Now, this is a Saturday in December, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe January.
January, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is New Year. It is
maybe
2017.
January.
It could be January.
Maybe January.
But well, if you want the end of December.
If you want to pretend it's December, that's fine with me.
But I'm perfectly content with it being 2017.
But that being a good question, is there a lot of difference between December and January? Is that a factor?
It would depend on the year, because last year, December was, what, 80 degrees the whole time?
Yeah, raining.
And raining.
No, it didn't rain in December too much.
Summer,
it started in January.
It started in January, yeah.
Sure, but the year before, we had a rainy December.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest mistake people make is looking at the calendar to say, well, here's where I was fishing last year at this time, and the fish should be there. And this year, the year before, and the year before, that was three completely different Decembers. And we don't know what this January is going to be like. Hopefully, it's going to be nothing like last year.
Well, Frank, you definitely have way more years down here than either me or Andrew fishing these waters. So, have you seen a big difference? Just say from December to December to December each year. Is it? Would you totally change what you do, or you just have to base it on the current year?
100%, you got to change. You cannot do the exact same thing when all the conditions change and expect to. Same thing to happen.
Don't they say that's like the definition of insanity?
Yeah. Well, that defines me pretty well. Yes, I've been in the bait shop for 32 years. If that's not insane, I don't know what is.
But sometimes we get different results.
Yeah, but what happened was last year in December, the water was very warm. We had tarpon fishing in the pass. We had fish up in the harbor. We had no red tides that hit in the harbor. We had a lot of the rivers were still running because we were getting intermittent rains all fall, and we did not experience much for cold spells from October all the way through to December. This year, we've been getting cooler weather starting all the way back in October. It gets warm, it gets cool, it gets warm, it gets cool. Then we had the rain stop abruptly, and when the rain stopped abruptly, it coincided right with the red tide bloom, so we had no freshwater protection. So we had the harbor commit to being very salty, and then the red tide hit us, killed a lot of fish. We had the whole mullet run thing. And this year in December, you're going to look for fish in different places because the redfish pushed up into the Peace River. They went deep in the canals. They went out to the middle of the harbor to avoid those red tides. So nothing this year was like last year.
So let's just say, Captain Andrew, say a person like myself or somebody, this, for argument's sake, tomorrow I call you up and I want to book a redfish trip for tomorrow. Kind of take me through what we would do, some of the techniques that we would do.
Well, you would stay on land because you're not chartering yet.
Yeah. Exactly. No, but real quick before I get into that, touching base on...
Sorry, Steve. You're doing great. Steve is going to be hosting his own show, as well as Andrew. They're going to both be hosting shows here on Radio Fishing. And I shouldn't be in the chair because I am just... I'm too much for everybody else. There's just no getting around that. It's kind of like, Jackie Gleason or Dean Martin walking onto the
stage. I was waiting on it.
So, Andrew is going to be doing charters, but to the young man's credit, and the reason I'm giving him a hard time is he is taking care of an elderly family member, namely his grandmother, and doing the responsible family thing before he embarks on the charter career. So my hat's off to him. I admire him greatly for that. That's why I shouldn't pick on him for something I admire so much. But low tide fishing, we've both done it.
Yeah. Yeah, like you guys were saying, it's something it's not necessarily the same thing you're going to do every time this year because it does change, like Frank was talking about. I can recall certain areas 10, 12 years ago that I would fish that would be great, and it was the same thing each time a year. As the years go by, it's some places are now ghost towns.
No, I find it easier to fish in low tides.
Well, yeah. No,
I love fishing low tides because the fish have to be in the water.
Yeah. Yes.
And if a lot of the places is dirt, that you can eliminate fish being in any place where there's dirt. Or sand. They really prefer being in the water. So they're easier to find to me.
You definitely got less surface acreage. So, yeah, it confines the fish to deeper areas where there's more water.
No, Steve, I know I shouldn't be portraying as part of the host, but you go out fishing in low tides. What have you done lately that's...
Just briefly, we fished last week, and we went over to an oyster bar on Turtle Bay, and we basically Carl, I fished with Carl, and he got up basically on the top of his T-top, and so we were sight fishing. I mean, he was looking for fish pushing, and he would get me in position, and I would cast to the fish. He would basically tell me 1 o'clock, 50 feet, and I would throw and a live shrimp, and we had a live shrimp on a jig head, and we were very successful at it. Just one of the things that we did that particular day, because we had low water and clear water, so we could actually see the fish pushing, so that's kind of how we approached it. Very successful day doing that. Definitely one of the things you can do in the wintertime. Maybe Captain Andrew can add something to that, or if that didn't work, maybe what else could we, you know, could we do? Or,
well, the first thing I'm going to do is, since we talked about some of the reasons we get these low tides, one being the easterly wind, I'm going to contribute, you know, where I'm going to go to stay out of the wind into my plan. I'm going to make sure that my location isn't going to end up resulting in us getting our kidneys beaten out by the boat getting rocked back and forth. If it's windy and if the conditions are miserable, I'm going to make sure I have the upper hand by sticking that boat somewhere where it has some cover from those easterly winds that you'd get this time of year.
Well, yeah, that's probably a good idea, huh? You don't want to beat your customers to death.
The trip out there, I mean, you got to kind of play that in and make sure you're a step ahead in every situation. So I'm going to put it, most of the time this time of year, I'm going to try and fish on the east side, because with those easterly winds, it does keep you sheltered to some extent. I mean, you may get into it running from spot to spot, but for the most part, it's going to be easier than making that trip across the harbor just to get tucked in back behind Turtle Bay, Bull Bay.
Well, Andrew, in the wintertime fishing, what kind of baits? I mean, do you want to use shrimp? Do you want to use artificials? Do you want to use crabs? You want to present them in a slow fashion? I mean, how do you want to go about that in these conditions?
I think that's also going to be dependent on species. I mean, say if we're out there red fishing, I'm going to do something that they're eating a lot of this time of year. I'm going to be doing the shrimp. I'm going to be doing, you know, chunks of cut ladyfish, something that's slow presentation, a smelly presentation, something, you know, guys are having a hard time finding bait out there right now, so I'm not going to go out of my way to go fish an area with greenbacks where those fish don't have greenbacks as a part of their diet this time of year.
Well, do you feel that this time of the year, and I know on my personal experiences that I've found that shrimp are a better bait in the wintertime for redfish, you know, just picking a species. Do you feel the same way, or do you try greenbacks in the wintertime, or is it just not worth it?
Well, they'll eat them either way, but, you know, back to the whole, what if it's rough and nasty out there? I mean, it's a whole lot easier. I don't have to deal with many waves walking in the door here getting some shrimp here at the shop. I mean, I'll do that if where I'm planning on going and what I'm planning on doing is involving neutralizing any possibility of going out there and getting beat up. So, but back to what you were saying as far as what I would prefer, yeah, I'd love a live wolf whitebait, but if I know I can get away with the shrimp and they're hard to get, I'm just going to go ahead and fish shrimp or cut bait.
Well, I think in my experiences in fishing in the wintertime, I've found that they want a slower presentation and something that they don't have to work real hard to catch, because it's more of a metabolism thing. They don't want to burn that energy up in the cold water to chase anything.
They're a little more lethargic too.
Right. And so I feel they're probably going to eat crustaceans. I don't know. I was just asking to see if you've experienced the same thing. I know me personally, I've kind of seen that a slower presentation is always better.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you can always change that up a little bit when going from one species to the next. Like trout. I mean, wintertime trout, when they're coming in and they're schooling up, getting ready to spawn, or they're coming out of a spawn, and everybody's fishing them out on the bank or on the sandbars or the flats, I'll rock and roll with a diving lure or a spoon or something like that. That's going to be a faster retrieve or a faster presentation than you would fish 20 minutes earlier for redfish.
Gotcha.
I mean, those trout ain't picky, and they're pretty energetic coming into a spawn.
This time of the year, do you spend a lot of time in one spot, or are you going to move more? Are you going to be on the hunt more? Do you find that it's better to kind of stay in one spot?
I'm going to try and incorporate the Lewis and Clarkin that Frank was talking about. I'm going to fish. I'm not going to really anchor myself and leave myself in one area.
So you're pretty much going to keep that boat trolling motor going.
Yeah. I mean,
going.
Granted, if we're going to start catching fish, of course we're going to stop and stay there for a little while, but I'm not going to spend the whole day in one area. I'm going to go out. I'm going to kind of experiment in different tactics, different baits, and different locations, while in the same time I'm trying to make a mental image of areas that I'm going to come back and fish on a high tide during regular summer right. months when you can't see those certain areas.
Well, do you think or in your mind in the wintertime, is it better to do like a multi-species kind of thing in the wintertime where maybe you go try some trout, try some sheephead, try some redfish?
I mean, you have numbers of fish that you normally wouldn't have different times of the year. Gotcha. I'm going to take advantage of what's going on at that particular time. I mean, I haven't been out there in the past couple days, probably the past couple weeks, but right. say, you know, I can remember years back I was fishing El Jobin, and when those sheephead were coming in to spawn, they were there. I mean, you can go out there with some fiddler crabs and sit there and have a 2 or 3 person max in no time. Same way with the trout. I mean, I remember, you know, 10 years ago, you can go out and sit in Pirate Harbor, or you can sit anywhere on those bars where they were schooled up real big, and you could go out there and just be done with it.
Well, do you find that in the wintertime it's necessary when you're fishing to downsize your equipment, maybe to use lighter line, lighter leaders, smaller hooks? Does that seem to be a factor? Is that something that you consider?
Not so much on the terminal tackle. I mean, of course, if I'm doing trout or sheephead, I'm going to go smaller on the hooks. But as far as the redfish on terminal tackle, I'm going to stick to what I'm normally using in the summertime.
Well, they're a pile of fish. They'll kick your butt. So, yeah.
What I am going to do is, as far as downsizing, I will oftentimes downsize on the outfit I'm using. You know, you could go a lighter line or a lighter line class on your rod, a smaller series on your reel, you know, run whatever braid, you know, suited for that combo. The main reason being is a lot of time, if you're out there and you're fishing that open water and those fish aren't way up in those mangroves or in those bushes or in the cut or in a canal, wherever they may be most of the time, you have that option to work those fish in open water. Now,
another great question for you. Now, being the wintertime, and now that the fish are not going to be in the mangroves as much as they are in the summertime, and I would think they wouldn't feel as protected in the lower water because they're more in the open, do you find that you need to get further away from them, make longer casts in order to catch the fish, or is it still okay to be kind of close to them, or what kind of approach do you need to take to that?
Well, a lot of the time, I'm going to try and stay as far as I can away from them, still being within casting distance. I mean, you got a couple things to consider. You got the fact that these fish are preyed on by birds most of their life, so them being pushed out into these open waters where they're away from that protection and they're, you know, pulled away from all that structure that they're used to living in, they've got to, you know, they got their head on a swivel.
And I'm sure you guys have noticed, as you know, we're talking about, in the wintertime, the water here is clearer. It just clears up a lot more than it does in the summertime, and I think that's probably due to the rainfall amounts and stuff like that. And I think I agree with you, Andrew. I think that in the clearer water, you do have to take a more stealthier approach to catching these fish. I feel like they're just a lot more spooky in the wintertime when the clearer, lower water conditions.
Yeah.
They're more on the alert for some to eat them. Yeah. So.
Now, that being said, you know, you kind of got to gauge that by the year and by the weather. You know, you got the Peace River and the Myakka. The Peace River is a 1,250 square mile watershed. So pretty much any bit of rain we get throughout the center of the state ends up in our backyard.
Right.
Certain years we've had crystal clear water all the way up to the river to where you can pretty much see the bunker or the bumpers down there at 75,
right?
And then we've had years where it's been, you know, like sweet tea all the way out to the pass and 5 miles out, depending on how much rainfall we're getting, whether it's winter or summer. So wintertime doesn't always guarantee our clear water. It's mainly,
but it's more it's more prevalent than it is in the summer.
No, you will find clear water throughout the winter months, but we say we wanted a clear winter, no rain, and here we are, and it's supposed to be pouring all weekend with this front. So I don't think it's going to affect it too terribly much.
I'm not going to beat this to death because I know all you guys out there are probably sick of hearing about red tide, but do you feel like that's gone now and the after effects?
I think that's pretty well done.
Me too. I'm with you on that.
The main reason being that stuff was able to progress as far as it did is because we went without rain for as long as we did.
Right.
You have the nice thing about wintertime where you get the salinity receding back up into the river systems and we get cleaner, clearer water throughout the harbor, but the downside of that clean, clear water is the fact we didn't have that rain darken it up, but the rain is kind of what we needed to kill it off. That stuff can't survive in that fresh water, so we needed the rain, but we didn't want the rain.
Right.
And then all of a sudden everybody wanted the rain because they wanted the red tide gone, so you kind of got to pick your poison there on that one.
So, you know, I'm going to change the subject just a little bit here. What kind of stuff are we looking for down here in the wintertime? I mean, what's our main target? I mean, what is some good fish to go after so you can – and, you know, a lot of guys out there don't want to go target one thing. You know, they're looking for what's available out there just to, you know, have a good time and catch fish. What would be some of your suggestions on some of our wintertime fish to catch? I mean, what is something that they can go out there and pretty much have a good time with and not really focusing on one thing?
Well, with a lot of guys, you know, like I'd been talking about, you know, you get the two fish species that come in to spawn. You get the sheephead that come in this time of year during the winter months to spawn. You also have the trout. The redfish are still pretty prevalent throughout the harbor. I don't know what the snook have been doing. I haven't been out there in a while. The other thing is you get a lot of our more, you know, offshore species moving further in. You get gag grouper that come in throughout the harbor. You'll get the guys that go out there and they'll troll some of the, in, you know, the near shore reefs or, you know, Alligator Creek. They'll fish it. You'll get reports of some more flounder this time of year out there on Alligator Creek. And mangrove snapper come in pretty good numbers.
You know, your offshore guys, what Captain Andrew's trying to say to you is you don't have to make those 40, 50-mile runs in the wintertime here to catch those offshore species of fish. They're going to move in on some of our public numbers and become a lot better for you guys in the wintertime versus in the summer. I think that definitely, like Andrew said, in the wintertime, these offshore fish are going to move in and reach for you guys. You know, of course, you don't want to go out there in 30-mile-an-hour wind, but,
no.
You know, some of our inshore structure can become very productive. I mean, you know, right now there's a lot of guys catching cobia and amberjack and all kinds of cool fish, you know, right here 5-6 miles out in some of our public numbers. I mean,
they've even been getting gag grouper at some of your local piers.
Wow.
I've been seeing pictures of those. I mean, decent-sized, I mean, keeping fish.
Right.
Not just babies. I mean, you'll get babies all around the wintertime, but
right. There's
been some pretty decent fish caught right off these piers that you wouldn't normally expect to see in this time of year.
And we've got another fisherman joining us here. All you guys, I'm sure, know Austin.
What's going on?
Austin from the shop.
Now, Captain Austin.
Captain Austin now, yeah. Excuse me.
There
my bad.
Roll took long the, enough. I deserve
yeah,
it now.
Yeah, you do. You've earned that. No disrespect intended there. But all you guys know Austin, he's like our baby brother here in the shop. And now that we got Austin in here, for some of you land-based guys, Austin is the man. I mean, he is he's probably been run out of your front yard a few times.
only if it's in Punta Gorda.
Only if it's in Punta Gorda, yeah. You gotta look for this guy. He'll be taking your fish out of your front yard. No, just messing with Austin. He's a great guy. And he is very, to be his age, he's a very respected fisherman down here in Charlotte Harbor and probably one of the best land-based fishermen that I know down here. I'm going to let him key in on some of that land-based stuff for you guys because it's just something that I'm fascinated to learn because I haven't really done a lot of it. So I'm just going to kind of turn it over to him for a second and let him take you through a day in his life of fishing from shore.
One of the biggest things is right now that sucks is everything's so inconsistent. One day there's fish there, one day there's not. I mean, wherever you're at, they've just been bouncing around so much from one canal to the next or even out in the harbor. I mean, one pier is doing good at one time, one pier is doing good at another. So.
Now, what's your thought on as to why that's happening? What's the big contributing factor there as to why those fish are so sporadic this time of year?
Something else that I kind of think about that is I kind of think some of them are still there, just not appearing to be themselves there at all. But on another note, you really don't even see any of them there on certain days. So
let me elaborate on that with a little bit. You think they're kind of like us? We go out of our living room and we walk out into 40 degrees and we're like, damn, I don't want to do nothing. You know what I mean? I mean,
the fronts definitely have an effect on them.
I think that does affect them. I mean, they're not comfortable, so they don't feel like eating.
Something I found out too recently is the evening bite's been better than the morning because it has all day to heat up with the sun shining down. When you get up in the morning, everyone to go fishing, it had all night to cool off. When you go in the evening, it had all day to warm up. And typically, it's backwards most of the year because everyone fished all day, and the fish are normally wore out by the end of the day and not eating.
And it's also 90-something degrees. Those fish have been hiding all day waiting for it to cool down so where they can come out of hiding.
Well, let me ask both of you guys something. I found in my experience in saltwater, in any kind of fishing, do you feel like fishing in the deep wintertime is almost the same as the middle of the summer?
No.
I find, and with my experiences, I find that even on the hottest and coldest days, I find that my slower presentations and my smaller baits work better. Now, maybe that's just me, but I wanted to definitely get some more opinions on that.
Smaller baits definitely work better in the wintertime, and the biggest reason is all our fish spawn in the summertime, so there's always smaller fish to be caught in the wintertime. Your rat reds, your little peanut snook, a bunch of snappers, small black drum, and tons of sheep's head in the wintertime.
So basically, in a nutshell, they're keying on what's available.
Yeah,
the most available baits.
I'll tell you, when I come in here in the spring, fall, and summer, I get nice select hand-picked shrimp and go for redfish and black drum and snook and all that. But the past week, I've pulled out choice and a few selects
right.
to take out, and they get it in one bite a little bit better. You come up with less misses, more bait, and everything
so
else.
So it's a match the hatch kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. But something else, don't just downsize your shrimp. Downsize your fluorocarbon, make your leader longer. Smaller jig head or smaller hook. Make everything smaller, not just your bait.
Well, another question for you, Captain Austin. Do you feel like that in the summertime, or I'm sorry, we are in wintertime, duh. Do you feel like that in the wintertime that you should concentrate more around concrete, bridges? Because those do tend to hold heat better. I mean, I feel like even 1 degree could probably mean a lot to a fish.
Yeah, concrete docks and all that. The canals, what's really nice is they normally, most canals come up to shallow edges that heat up the seawall faster, heat up the rocks, and it gets warm quicker. And they also have a quick escape into the deeper water right in the middle of the channel. And they can lay right up on top of the water, and it's always getting stirred up as boats are going through. So
now, a question for you, Captain Andrew, you being on a boat, do you feel like if you can find darker water that it holds more fish? Because we do know that darker water heats up better than clear water. Do you find that that's a thing in the wintertime, mm-hmm. that if you can find some darker water, you may key in on more fish?
Well, I'm looking for a lot of time, like you said, darker, but I'm looking for those muddy creeks and cuts, anywhere where that water stays shallow enough to where there's still enough water for those fish to get up in there, but just enough water to where that sun can penetrate through and heat up that mud and that grass and all that dark stuff, so it's acting like a natural solar panel. So though that little bit of water that's left there on those low tides, you're getting fish hanging out in that warm water.
Now, another question for you two guys. Do you want to fish the banks the sun hits the first in the mornings?
I'm not too much of a stickler on that. I mean, a lot of people think towards that way and everything, and it could make a difference. It could not make a difference. I don't necessarily think the fish move from one side to the other that far, like east wall, west wall. I normally go wherever I think I have my best shot at fishing versus what side it's going to hit first.
So, the question for Andrew: if you're gonna fish on a boat this time of the year, what are you gonna fish for? What would be your easiest thing to target in on, or your best success fish this time of the year?
I don't think I'm gonna resort to what's the easiest and biggest numbers. I'm still gonna pursue those fish. I mean, if I'm just going for numbers and I want to go play,
right,
I'll go for trout. I'll go real, real light. I'll drop down to really light rod and reel, really light line, small baits, and, I mean, just catch them. I mean, in some instances, I may even get froggy enough to dust off the 6-weight fly rod and try it for them.
So basically, in a nutshell, if somebody just wants to go out and catch fish this time of year and they're not targeting anything in particular, so one of the better ones to go for is trout.
Trout or sheephead.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Austin, same question for you. On a shore basis, I mean, on a pier basis, what is going to be your best bet for just going out and having a good time and catching fish?
From land, I would say sheep's head for sure, from Placida or Boca Grande, fishing on the pier right there close to the intercoastal. And there's been countless days where we've caught pompano, big snapper, trout, flounder, and black drum against the pilings on the wall. But if it were me and I had the chance, if I had a boat and it was actually pretty calm out, I'd try going offshore a few miles in the wintertime if you could get a few hours in the morning and go play. And typically there's a lot of amberjacks right now, a lot of kingfish to be caught, a few barracudas. There's some triple tail, cobia, the snapper bite's real good, the grouper bite's real good.
And again, guys, there's another captain's perspective on that. We keyed in on that before Austin joined us, and, you know, same thing. You don't have to burn 100 gallons of gas this time of year. You just fish some of our inshore public numbers.
Right now, I mean, even though gag groupers closed, they're coming in closer and closer as it gets colder. And there's just some nice 20-pound groupers out there to catch, and they're just real fun to catch. Real hard to get their head out of the rocks and everything, so they give you a good run for your money. And there's plenty of reef donkeys. Amberjacks, they're fun too.
Yeah, those will definitely send you to the chiropractor for sure. I'm gonna talk about something real quick, and I want to see how it is, if it's kind of dear to you guys' heart like it is mine. Now, I'm not saying it's a right or wrong answer. I'm just getting some more opinions. My opinion is on the snook fishing. This time of the year, I don't do it. And it's simply because it's not in season, and I feel like those fish, it's cold, and those fish are stressed enough just trying to stay warm. Now, what's some of you guys' feelings on that? Do you feel like it's a good time of the year? And by no means, I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not trying to get into any of the politics of it. Just personally to me, I feel like the cold weather affects snook a lot, and I just don't want to stress them out. So I leave them alone. Am I right or wrong for that? Give me an opinion on that, guys.
My personal opinion, for this time of year, I'm not going to stress too much about what you're getting inside. I mean, my experience fishing around this area since middle school, high school, I always spent a lot of my time this time of year doing, like we were saying, offshore fishing. I mean,
right.
You get those kind of numbers, that much diversity, those numbers, I'm going to go out and hit some of these new shore reefs, and I'm going to target those fish because I'm more a food guy. I mean, some people like to fight. I like the food.
So, I mean, but again, the question, do you feel like that it's bad for a snook to catch them this time of year? I mean, do you think that they're stressed enough from the cold weather? Or, I mean, I'm just trying to get another opinion on that because my personal opinion, I don't mess with them.
We're talking about a cold snap that did like it did a couple years ago, right, where it killed all those fish. I mean, if it's staying like it is right now, I don't think it's affecting them any more than catching them when it's 98 degrees out.
Okay.
For me, I mean, something that people don't look at is when we get a cold front in from when it's 80 degrees for a week straight and we get a cold front for 2 days, the water temp doesn't drop very much.
It's got to stay cold.
Yeah. Right. If it stays cold, it'll drop a few degrees. But I'm 100% with you on any fish you catch in the wintertime. You don't want to just hook them and loosen your drag up and let them run and fight them and wear them out to death. If you were fishing and you were catching nice fish like that and everything, you want to try to pull them in quick. You don't want to fight them for more than a few minutes for being any snook, any redfish, or even any of those fish at all. Does it hurt them? If it's cold enough, I think it'll hurt them, but that's why you try not to fight them too hard. If they fight you pretty good to where you're going to get a real good fight out of them, I think they're all right. But don't just sit there and horse around and let them pull drag and hold them in the water and pull them in circles and everything. Fight him, get him to the boat, try to avoid netting him, and try to avoid holding him out of the water for too long. Most of the time, just grab him by the mouth while they're in the water. And if the water's too cold for you to grab him like that, then you probably want to leave them in it versus pulling him out.
Yeah, so basically same rules apply. You're going to apply the same tactics you would use most of the time. You're going for making sure that fish gets put back in the water and he's in a good enough condition to actually swim away.
So, real quick, Austin, from shore, what kind of baits are we using? What kind of tackle? Give us a rundown of some equipment that we would use from shore right now this time of the year.
The artificials lately kind of been sucking unless you're trout fishing from shore. I would definitely be taking shrimp, and don't just get a couple dozen of them. Take a bunch of them. Okay. There's a lot of snapper. There's a lot of sheep's head, a lot of black drum. Even trout will eat the shrimp. And I've been dropping down to 15 or 20 pound fluorocarbon, but 15 is even doing better for your nicer size 15 inch snapper. So, just the other day we went out and I was fishing on land with my girlfriend and we caught like 40 reds. I mean, they were all in the small 18 to 20 inch range, but it was all on 20 pound fluorocarbon leader, like a 5 foot leader, a small 16th ounce jig head with choice size shrimp on it.
Yeah, so basically you're sizing everything down.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we caught a little bit of everything. It was a surprise every cast, from a 1 pound jack to an 8 pound jack to a small sheep's head to a big sheep's head. We caught like 15 snapper that were all would have been keepers. We didn't keep any, but all in that 12 to 15 inch range.
Right.
And we caught one decent sized redfish that was like 25.
So it sounds like from shore, you know, you guys, it's not fishing from a boat. Sounds like there's some pretty good opportunities out there for you.
It bends the rod. Just drop down your lighter tackle and everything. You're not going out there to go grocery shopping on shore right now. And you're not going out there to pull on big fish. But if you want to have a good time.
Any spots to key in on?
I would try right around ponds, go inside ponds, and as you go inside ponds, you follow the mangrove shoreline in, and you get there to the main entrance of the canals. You can't anchor in the middle of the canal, you can't anchor in the channel, but you can anchor off to the side and fish inside that inside the entrance to it. There's rock wall there, and you can normally do pretty well with snapper and sheephead and black drum there because it's a runway and entrance into the canal.
Any of the any of our peers that you would recommend right now that are hot?
Placida and Placida. Boca. If I had a spot to go fishing from land right now, I'd be so at Placida and Boca.
You would go down closer to the Gulf.
There's a lot of pompano. There's a lot of sheephead. Even a few cobia have been coming through the pier right now, which is weird, but I've had at least five or six reports of big ones. One of them was even 53 inches.
Are you finding the same thing, Captain Andrew, from a boat? South is better down
yeah, at any
south
point
end
in time,
of the harbor?
I mean, whether it's crystal clear water up here, I'm still going to try and get to where you have a higher salinity and a more gotcha. Constant high salinity.
But something else you got to look for, too, is when you get to that clearer water, you need to just keep dropping down lighter and lighter size tackle, smaller stuff, and that's where you're going to get your better fish. It's harder to pull them out of the structure, but it's definitely doable.
It's a give and take.
Yeah, it's a catch 22 pretty much.
Gotcha. You know? Well, guys, that about does it for this episode of Radio Fishing. Anything else you guys want to add? Anything else? Any hot tips? Any hot?
Bring your umbrella when you go out.
Bring a jacket.
Bring a jacket, an umbrella, and
I'll tell you the best thing.
Suntan lotion all in one day.
Yeah, the best thing I've ever found was hand warmers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you've never been up north.
Yeah, and I don't plan
on. Spoiled.
Yeah, I don't plan on it either.
You think you need them down here? You need a whole pack in your boots up there.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, these two guys are new captains down here, and any information you need from these guys, you want to beat it out of their heads, come down to Fishing Frank's Bait and Tackle. And you can talk to either one of these guys. They're here all the time. I mean, you know, they're definitely here for your availability. Any tips, anything you need. And I just want to add one more thing. Always take time to get your kids on the water. That's the future of our sport. Get your kids involved. Get the women involved. We definitely want more women fishing. Again, thank you guys for listening, and tight lines, my friends.
Yep. Have a good one, guys.
All righty.